again from Christmas Valley. This is Cyril Stevens bringing to you, I hope, some nuggets of truth that you've not been reminded of for a little while. And I hope you will rejoice in these things. Let me say this to you. We're going to look at Luke 17 and verses 11 through 19. And these seven verses tell us a lot of things. Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Let's look at this. You see, sometimes we have an illness, sometimes a sickness or whatever you want to call it, and it overpowers our personality and our presence. It overpowers our daily walk, and we are not really very fit. We have clinics, we have doctors, we have nurses, and all these wonderful medical people that help us greatly to live good lives. I've just had a birthday. I'm a year older than I was a week ago. That means I've lived a long time. I've seen things that I never thought I'd see. I've been to places I never thought I'd visit. All kinds of things have happened in my life, but the one thing that has really controlled my life is in the last 20 years, I've had lots of pain in my spine, and I've had, I think it's 5 or 6 operations on my spine, and I'm really in some ways worse off today than I was before anybody touched me with a surgeon's knife. But the Lord is gracious, and the Lord is good, and the Lord is powerful. I know what it's like to be weak, so weak I can barely speak. I know what it's like to be full of vim and vigor and have no body to use it up. So there are frustrations in life, and all of us have them. Here were 10 fellows, and Jesus was walking between two places. Let's go to verse 11 of Luke 17. While Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Understand something. They did not ask for healing. Wow, you say, wait a minute. Yeah, just wait a minute. I will show you that they did not ask for healing. Read on. You see, leprosy was a mark of God's displeasure. A person with leprosy was shut out of society. Yet they lived in the community and with each other. They were birds of a feather that flocked together, and there were little clusters of people that had this dreadful disease that was called leprosy. And there were all sorts of remedies that didn't work. Now, these men knew that they couldn't come near to Jesus. One day I was preaching in India. The tent where 26,000 people were gathered had a little side tent that seated, so I was told, over 400 lepers. And I looked around that vast congregation and I was moved in my heart, but I was moved especially toward these lepers. And so I marched off as only I can do, and I walked towards the lepers, and they literally cringed before me. And I said, don't do that. But at that moment, the people that were in charge of these meetings, they grabbed me and hauled me away from these lepers. You can't minister specifically to them. I asked, why not? And I wanted to have a tent set aside for a meeting with lepers, but they wouldn't allow it because of the awful things that these dear people suffered. Well, on this occasion, the Lord Jesus had 10 men standing on the side of the hill and road, and they said, "Lord Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And the cry was, "Have mercy." If you ever want to break your heart, go to a children's hospital and see the dear loving children in there with all kinds of diseases. And if your heart doesn't break before you leave that hospital, there's something seriously wrong with you. We need to understand that there are people in this world who are not vested with healthiness. Now, I have climbed mountains. I was tremendously strong and healthy, and that's no longer my experience. I've climbed mountains, I've ridden horses, I've dashed here, there, and everywhere, I've walked miles, I've hiked through mountains and so on, and I've had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience that I will call my earthly experience. But when I compare that which is to come, I look forward to the day with a new body. I shall be able to climb all sorts of eternal blessings and receive at the hand of Jesus even more power in eternity. But I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And we all should come to that place. Well, let's go on and understand that Jesus is called. When Jesus saw them, verse 14, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Notice, he didn't touch them. He didn't lay his hand upon them. He didn't do very much at all. He said, "Go to the priests and show yourselves to the priests." They were well known. These 10 fellows were known as a group of fellows who had leprosy. And they went in obedience to the command of Jesus. They went in obedience. Now, I have been with people who were seriously damaged. Their bodies were awful. From those that were terribly burned in warfare to those that were limbless because of warfare. During the Vietnamese War, I lived in Washington, and I would go into Magdalen Hospital, and I would talk to the men who were badly smashed and crushed and so on. I talked and had dear friends, most of whom have died in the intervening years, but I had a fellowship with those people. Jesus had an instant fellowship, and he knew the need of these men. He said, "Now be obedient. Go off and show yourself to the priests." The priests had the last word in these matters, and they were supposed to release these men from the social problems that they were having simply because they were now cleansed. But they asked for mercy. I want to repeat that over and over, because look at their cry. Most times we've got a pain in a certain place, or we've got something missing from our bodies, and we pray, "Oh Lord, cover this part with your hand," or something to that way of thinking. These men didn't. They said, "Have mercy on us." What were they saying? "Can I die? Is this a cry for death? Is it a cry for cleansing? Is it a cry for curing? What is this cry?" Mercy. Come in and share with us our complicated lives. And it's very important to understand these kids in the children's hospitals and the older people. Our veterans who are so damaged. My heart goes out and I sometimes cry openly. If the family is there visiting me, but certainly before the Lord, I weep over the terrible things that have happened to healthy people. The young man who went out to gather his friend and was shot in the spine. No longer does his mind function right. No longer do his limbs work like ordinary limbs. I weep over that. It's terrible, terrible suffering. And people whose minds are just completely shredded and will never, never return to sanity, real sanity again. Oh, the suffering of those people is terrible. The person that's got a type of dementia or a type of Alzheimer's who wants to talk to us and we can't understand a word they say. They can't communicate with us and they're trying desperately to say hello. That's a simple word. How are you? That's a simple expression. And they can't get their mouths to work and their minds are rushing and tearing around. They can't get it out. These people were shut out of society and they were saying, have mercy. They met Jesus as he entered the town. He was weary. He was unrefreshed. He was tired. Yet they found him and they stood afar off. They should be very, very humble as the approach to Jesus should make all of us humble. We have a spiritual leprosy. Jesus is infinitely pure. But this spiritual leprosy that's upon us is a thing that is distorting our minds, distorting our hearts, distorting our wills, distorting our relationship with him. Have mercy, we should cry. And they request, and their request is unanimous. Have mercy on us, all 10 of us. Have mercy. Verse 13 shouts it out. Have mercy. Have you asked for mercy? Or have you just assumed that this wonderful God doesn't demand very much from you? He says, lay down your life for me. Join me, take up your cross and follow me. But we think we've worked that one out and we think we know all the answers to all the conundrums of the Bible. And we're so clever. Oh, but we need to know. I need mercy. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Join me in this suffering time. Those who expect help from the Lord Jesus must take him as master. Listen to them. Verse 13 tells us, Jesus, master. Have mercy, Jesus, master. You've got to come where Jesus is master of your soul, of your life, of your all. Have mercy, have mercy. The cure for the malady is in the mercy of God. It's always enough to refer ourselves to the compassions of the Lord Jesus, because they fail not. The Lord Jesus is not somebody who isn't touched with the sufferings of our person. He is terribly touched, and he understands. Years ago, when I was 15, I was baptized by immersion. I'm not sure that I was as right as I like to think I might have been at that time in my life. I was up to all sorts of mischief and doing the wrong things. But there was a piece of me that was right with God. And as I brought that peace round and it started to overtake the rest of me, why, I suddenly found that Jesus was altogether lovely. But he demands from us obedience. Always, if we are to be blessed, we must receive the blessing, and the cry is out, have mercy. Bless me, please. Oh, Lord, bless me now and bless me forever. Keep me in the way of everlasting things. Keep me, hold me, have mercy on me. I've got to bring myself to humbly and obediently honour him. And the ceremonial law was in force in the days of Jesus, but his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And when people bring ceremonial laws upon us, they're not necessarily God's laws. And I want to point that out. I want you to understand, if you would be clean, then be obedient. The ceremonial law was in force in Jesus' time. Jesus saw that it was only in obedience. It had to be obeyed. So he sent the fellows back to the priests. Verse 14 tells us, as they went, they were cleansed. Read Leviticus 14, verses 2 through 32. And understand, do what you can, and God will do what you cannot. Cured, cleansed, cleansed. I once saw a man, a retired missionary. I was first attracted to the beautiful white hair, all crinkly and lovely, and I was looking at his back, and he was wearing a dark blue suit. And I thought, boy, there's an interesting fellow. And I worked my way round to look at him, to ask him where he had ministered for the Lord. His daughter was with him, and she was holding his arm. He was elderly. But when I saw his face, I was shocked. Just shocked. As big as the knuckles on the back of your hand, he had lumps all over his face, on his eyelids, on his lips, and round his jaw and down to his collar. Of course, he was wearing clothes, and I can only imagine that the disease that was on his face was perhaps on the rest of his body. And I was shocked, and I was glad I was in a small crowd of people, because I gazed on the man and I cannot get the image of him out of my memory bank. I would love to meet the man. I would love to talk with the man. What was the disease? What was it called? Why could they not deal with it? What was this? There were like enormous warts on his face. And what a lovely face beneath the warts it seemed to be. The man was just beautiful, yet he was horrible. And he captured my imagination, and I have never been able to shake that man's vision out of my heart. I've wept for him, I've prayed for him. And maybe he's dead and gone to be with the Lord Jesus and has his new body. But Jesus did not say they would be cured, but to go and be inspected by the priest. Verse 14 tells us this. Go show yourselves to the priests. As they were going, they were cleansed. Each step they took towards the priesthood, towards confessing that something was happening to them, that Jesus had spoken a word over their bodies, why, each step brought them nearer and nearer to cleansing, to cure. And how remarkable this all is. And the Lord Jesus was there. Do what we can, and God will do what we cannot. And so sometimes people who have diseases of some sort force their way out of bed, force their way into their clothes, force their way to go and meet the first person of the day, and they force the ministry that has been given to them out of their mouths, and they talk to people about the curing of Jesus. I'm not sure I understand healing. I'm not sure I know what it all means. But look, please, one man saw what was happening. And we see that in verses 15 and 16, though a foreigner, he had a time with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus spoke with him, and the Lord Jesus was with him, and they had a conversation about what his need was and how it was met. And Jesus just assumed that he was completely cured. The author of his cure said, and he spoke, verse 13 tells us, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus said, go, show yourself to the priests. Go and show yourself. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. I would think so. Leprosy had gone from him. If you go to the Gospel of Mark, you discover in the first chapter that Jesus was confronted by a leper, and it was the first of the miracles that Jesus performed. He laid his hand on him, and there must have been a gasp all through the audience of the people, for Jesus touched the man with leprosy. And they couldn't understand that he would do it. Socially, the man was reject. Socially, the man was far from them and could not function with his own family even, could not visit and could not take part in the things of the temple. And he could not worship God as Jewish people were supposed to worship God because he had this spiritual thing going on in his life. He had a leprosy, and the leprosy was revealing what was in his heart. Sickness sometimes shows what's in a man's heart. And Jesus laid his hand upon him. Verses 15 and 16. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. I am not a member of heaven, but God has made me an inheritor of eternity. And because I have that internal inheritance, I can fall on my face before my Lord, and weepingly I can confess my sin. Weepingly I can repent, and weepingly I can come close, close, closer, blessed Lord, to thy precious wounded side, and I can understand Jesus loves me. God is good. The Bible says so. God is good, and he wants good things for us. He wants us to be cleansed. He wants us to be cured. He wants us to stand tall. He wants us to worship him. He wants our time. He wants our ability. He wants our love. He wants all of our blessings to be pointing towards him. Now open your heart to Jesus and let the leprosy of sin be cleansed. Show yourself, as it were, to the priests of our day, and understand that God has given you glory. Jesus uses this expression. He answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Didn't 10 people get well that day? And there's a sort of hesitation. But the 9, this is verse 17, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, Look, there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. And the kingdom of God today is in our midst, in your heart, my heart, and in our beings. So let's lift our hearts in joy and bring ourselves to our Lord Jesus. Let's be positive about what's going on. Let's understand God loves us. Pray with me, please. Lord Jesus, the spots of leprosy that are visible to you that I cannot see in my life, cleanse them, please, Lord. Have mercy that when we come to that place where we see you face to face, we may stand by your grace, in your presence, in your love, complete and full of glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being there.